Play Night Theatre. For the second play in the Edith Evans Festival, we present The Old Ladies by Rodney Ackland, based upon the novel by Hugh Walpole. Edith Evans plays Agatha Payne, Gwen Franken-Davis, Lucy Amherst, and Sylvia Coleridge, Mae Beringer. The Old Ladies.
Quite a number of years ago, there was an old rickety building on the rock above Polchester in an old grass-grown square. And in this house, at one time or another, lived three old ladies. Mrs. Lucy Amherst, Miss Mae Beringer, and Mrs. Agatha Payne. It was a windy, creaky, rain-bitten place. Mrs. Amherst's room was on the ground floor, and she stayed indoors a good deal. Miss Beringer was new to the house. She had come to her room on the first floor only the day before. On the first floor, too, was Mrs. Payne's room. It was a large room, curiously jumbled with odds and ends. And the first things you'd notice were a black-haired doll called Miranda in a green dress and two packs of cards scattered on the shabby red tablecloth. There was a cuckoo clock and a large black rocking chair. And in it, Mrs. Payne, a large, stout, shapeless woman with deep black hair and highly colored cheeks. Her hair was tumbled carelessly about her head, and stuck into it, askew, was a cheap black comb, studded with glass diamonds. As the cathedral clock struck, Miss Beringer went nervously downstairs and across the hall, hesitated, and then knocked on Mrs. Amherst's door.
Oh, Miss Beringer, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes. I had to come and thank you for being so kind. And to wish you the compliments of the season, of course.
I'm so pleased. I hoped we'd meet before Christmas Day. Do come in for a moment. I was just going to make a cup of tea. I do like a cup of tea between breakfast and lunch.
Oh, thank you so much. I couldn't wait to thank you for being so generous, as I'm sure indeed you have been, to a perfect stranger.
Well, after all, I thought to myself when you arrived yesterday, we are going to be such very near neighbours, we must get to know each other a little. You will sit down, won't you? Have you met your other neighbour, Mrs. Payne, yet?
Mrs. Payne? Oh, no. No, she's the lady in the room next to mine, isn't she? Yes, the agent, Mr. Richards, told me. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sure I shall be most comfortable here.
The house is very rickety, of course, and when the old gentleman who had your room previously left, I did feel quite queer sometimes alone in the house with Mrs. Payne. But I'm sure we'll all be very happy now. Well, I'll see to the kettle.
I really could have wept when the charlady came in with such a lovely surprise this morning. Oh, it was such a nice thought. I really could. And it must be months since I had a fried sausage for breakfast. Oh, you left enough for yourself, I hope.
Dear me, yes. Did you have far to come yesterday?
Not so very far, no. St. Lennon's. The 3:45 it was, I think. Or was it the 3:40?
I've never been there, but I hear it's very bracy.
Yes, very. The air is wonderful. It agreed with me splendidly. Splendidly.
Were you there long?
Oh, yes, several years. But it had too many associations for me after my last little dog died. And then my friend, Jane, who married and went to India, she lived there too.
There's a very fine view of the cathedral from my window.
Is it far away?
Oh, no. Quite a short walk. I always go to the services there.
Oh, do you? I was thinking I'd very much like to attend a service tomorrow. I wonder...
Why don't you come with me?
Oh, may I really? I would like it so much. It's really something to look forward to.
I'm so glad, Miss Beringer. It is for me, too. To tell you the truth, I'd been wondering whether I might have a tiny party this evening.
A party? Dear.
Well, it wouldn't be a real party. There would only be ourselves. Just tea and cakes. But I've got a little surprise. It suddenly came upon me to buy it on my way home this morning. What do you think?
Oh, it sounds wonderful. The other lady will be here, of course.
Mrs. Payne, oh yes. Though I haven't asked her yet.
Does Mrs. Payne attend at the cathedral also?
No, oh no. No, she doesn't go about much. She's getting a little past it, I think. She has a weakness in her legs.
Oh, quite.
And I have rather an idea that she's a Roman Catholic.
Oh, you don't say so. Dear. So, of course, she wouldn't go to the cathedral. Quite. Did you go far for your walk this morning?
Well, right over the bridge. And I must admit, by the time I arrived at my cousin's, I did feel rather tired. But then it may have been through carrying the picture, because otherwise I've been very sprightly lately.
Oh?
Oh, there, the kettle's beginning to boil, and I've nothing ready. It's so difficult to know what to give for Christmas, isn't it? Especially to a man like my poor cousin Francis, who is confined to his bed all day and hasn't very long to live. So in the end, I thought a picture would be nice.
Yes, a picture's always nice, isn't it? Yes. Oh, dear. We are cozy in here.
I'd better let it stand a moment.
May I look round your room?
Yes, do, please.
This is your husband's photograph, I suppose.
Yes, that is my husband.
Oh, what a fine face. Fine face. And is this your little boy?
Yes, that's Brand.
Ah, he is a nice little boy. Is he...
He's a grown man now, of course. He lives abroad. I write to him every week.
Every week, yes? And which part is he?
I'm not quite sure. He was... in America, when I last heard. Milk and sugar?
Oh, if you don't mind, two.
do have a biscuit, will you?
I don't really think I could manage one.
Oh, but they're nothing.
Well, perhaps.
thank you.
I shouldn't, of course. I'm nothing but a glutton.
Mrs. Payne's the one for sweet biscuits.
She's fond of them.
She has quite a passion for sweet things.
Really? Chocolates?
No, nougat she likes and sticky things. Queer, isn't it? And raspberry jam.
What was that?
Oh, nothing. Mrs. Payne, I expect.
Oh.
She must have knocked something over.
It gave me quite a start.
Mrs. Payne often startles one like that. She sleeps a lot, you know. And then she wakes up suddenly and moves about without being properly awake.
I hate anything giving me a start. There's really nothing I hate more. My heart's not at all good. You've no idea how alarmed I get. I don't know what I should have done sometimes without Pip. I don't really.
Was that your little dog?
Yes. Pip. A little fox terrier he was.
Did you have him long?
Oh, yes. He was quite old when he passed away. Just like a human being. Jane, my friend Jane, she gave him to me as a gift. Pip first she gave me. And then the amber.
The amber?
Yes. My most treasured possession. It's a most beautiful piece of amber.
It's only Mrs. Payne. Come in. Oh, we were just having a cup of tea. Miss Beringer, this is Mrs. Payne, who shares the house with us here.
I'm glad to meet you.
You will have some tea. I'll get another cup. It won't be very fresh, I'm afraid.
Not for me, Lucy.
Are you sure?
You know I don't like tea. There's no richness to it. A nice cup of cocoa with plenty of sugar, that's a different matter.
But I'm afraid I haven't any cocoa.
That's all right. I've had three cups this morning. But tea... I like it about as much as the devil likes dill water.
But do you find cocoa as stimulating as tea when you're tired, Mrs. Peck?
Have you been out this morning, Lucy?
Yes, I got back just before Miss Bellinger came down. We've got to know each other in no time.
I heard you laughing. It woke me up. What were you laughing about?
I can't remember now. Can you, Mrs. Amherst? What was it?
Where'd you been, Lucy?
I went and paid a visit to my cousin, just to take him a little present.
Present? I wouldn't give him a present, rich as he is, and does nothing for you. I'm sorry for you, Lucy, with no relations but an old skinflint like him, unless you count your boy. But he might as well be dead for all you see of him.
Oh, no, Agatha.
Well, he's been gone for years now. No one knows where. If he's alive, he doesn't care about you. I'm glad my child died. She'd only have been a grief to me.
He'll come back. Brand, I mean.
Brand? So that's your boy's name, Lucy. Queer name. But isn't he right in telling you what he's doing? Perhaps he is dead.
I know he's not dead. I'm expecting to hear any day now.
You've been expecting to hear any day ever since I've known you. You're a patient woman.
One would never think it was Christmas Eve, would one?
Oh, Agatha, I felt I simply had to do something this Christmas. I bought a little surprise for us all on my way back. I simply couldn't resist it. You will come down tonight, won't you? And I'll have cakes and tea. No, no, cocoa. I'll remember to get cocoa for you, and we can have quite a little party. But the surprise is the thing. I'm sure you'll like it, dear.
How can you afford a party, Lucy? You've had some good news. The cards last night said there was good news on the way.
Well, in a sense, I have. And yet it's not news exactly. My cousin spoke to me in a very kindly manner this morning.
Did he say he'd leave you something in his will? What did he say he'd leave you?
Well, he said £1,000 a year.
£1,000? £1,000 a year? Well, Lucy, that's a fortune. Was there anyone else there when he said it?
No, there wasn't. We were quite alone. And he was very kind indeed. I've never known him so nice.
So you're going to get £1,000?
It's only what he said.
You can never be sure of anything, can you?
What could you do with £1,000?
Well, Agatha, I could find my boy, and we'd live together again.
Is that all you'd do?
That's all I'd want.
There'd be plenty over, wouldn't you? What would you do with that? Wouldn't you buy anything? Wouldn't you buy any jewels or trinkets? Any coloured things? Silks and jewels. No, nothing like that you wouldn't buy, would you?
No, I can't say I would, Agatha.
No.
Well, I'm afraid there isn't anybody who's likely to leave me £1,000. I wish there were.
Anyway, he probably won't leave it to me at all. Do let's talk of something else. Shall I take your cup, Miss Behringer?
Oh, yes, thank you. Lovely cup of tea it was.
I'll be going, Lucy. And you're quite right. Don't count on the money. You come to me and we'll talk it over. There's nothing like a little plan.
No, oh, don't go yet.
Would you lend me some of the money?
Lend you some? Why, of course.
You're a good creature, Lucy. I'd do the same for you. And after all, you must be pretty sure of it. You wouldn't go spending money on parties and surprises, else you've only £10.4 in the bank and nothing coming in.
Whatever gave you such an idea? You're quite wrong, Agatha. You are really. What could could have put such an idea into your head?
Well, I saw the letter from the bank. It was on the mantelpiece. I didn't mean to read it.
Oh, but you shouldn't have. What were you thinking of? I assure you it's a mistake. The letter was a mistake. You shouldn't have said such a thing.
It was a seasonable Christmas, and the snow was falling. Mrs. Amherst took in the Christmas tree she had ordered, and as she did so, the bells rang out from the cathedral. That evening, after she had decked out the tree, she put on her silk dress, hung her thin gold chain with the locket that held Bran's portrait round her neck, brushed her lovely white hair, and sat down to survey her work. The tree tapered gradually to a point that quivered and flickered like a green flame. Chains of frosted silver hung from bough to bough. Balls of fire, emerald and ruby, amethyst and crystal, shone in the light of the candles, and color blended with color. Upstairs, Miss Beringer put on her orange silk dress, and Mrs. Payne her dark purple and her red slippers. At exactly 8 o'clock, they met outside Mrs. Amherst's door.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Payne.
How are you tonight?
I'm so excited. I don't know when I felt so excited. Come in. Christmas tree. Dear me, dear me.
Was it very silly of me? Oh, I hope you don't mind, but I simply had to do it. I do hope you don't mind.
Mind? Oh, why, Mrs. Amherst, it's lovely. It's the loveliest thing. I can't speak. I can't indeed. Words won't come. I can't say anything at all.
Well, sit down, both of you. Dear me, there's quite a draught. I'll shut the door.
Oh, do say something, Agatha. I shall begin to feel you don't like the tree.
Don't like it? I can't tell you what I feel about it, Lucy. You wouldn't understand.
Oh, I think I would.
No, you don't love beauty. Nobody loves beauty like I do. It's beauty and colour, the tree there. That's why I'm the only one that understands it.
Oh, Mrs. Amherst, I wish I could tell you what I feel. It's wonderful. Simply wonderful.
I'm forgetting all about the tea. You will have some, won't you, Miss Beringer? And Agatha will have cocoa, I know, with lots of sugar in it. I got the cocoa specially for you.
I remember once when I was a little girl, when we were all children at Exeter, you know, we had one Christmas time a really lovely fairy on top of the tree. Oh, it was lovely. I wish you could have seen it, Mrs. Amherst.
I wish I had. Your cocoa, Agatha.
Thank you, Lucy.
And you must help yourselves to cakes and sweets. I'll put them here where you can both reach them.
Thank you, Lucy.
I've never seen such a beautiful Christmas tree. Never.
All the afternoon I've kept wondering, well, is it silly of me? I couldn't make up my mind. But in the end it looked so lovely that everything seemed to be justified.
Quite, quite. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. As the poet says.
More cocoa, Agatha?
No, but I'll have another sweet, though.
Well, then, now we'll go on to the next part of the program. You mustn't laugh at me, please. They're just little, tiny things that I got. The chief part of a present, I always think, is that it should be wrapped up in paper, don't you? Oh, it's silly of me, isn't it? But I was certain you'd like a new dress for that little doll of yours, Agatha. And I couldn't resist the blotter because I thought you'd like the colour.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. Yes, I did once, and a dress for Miranda. That makes four she's got now. The green, the purple, the ruby, and now the blue. Yeah, the room will look nice when I put the blue on her. Oh, thank you, Lucy. It is a beautiful tree.
Just what I wanted. Oh, dear me, dear me.
I am so glad you like them. It was so difficult to know what you'd like.
The Light of Asia by Sir Edwin Arnold. Well, I've always wanted to read that. Always.
Thank you, Mrs. Amherst. This is a nice surprise. I don't know when I felt so happy.
I don't think I felt so happy since Jane gave me the amber.
I feel happy, too. If only I thought my boy were coming home.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind anything.
Oh, dear. Yes, indeed.
I wrote to him today, but I can't be sure that he gets my letters.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't do that.
She's fast asleep.
Is she? Are you sure?
Quite.
Mrs. Amherst, I don't like her at all. Do you like her? Don't you think there's something queer? Oh, there's something very odd about her indeed.
Shh. No, I don't think so. She is a little queer, perhaps, but she doesn't mean anything, any harm.
Doesn't she?
No. She's old and all by herself. We ought to be kind to her.
Oh, I don't think I can be kind to her. I don't like her at all. I really don't.
But what should you be alarmed about?
Oh, Mrs. Amherst, you should understand. Her manner to you earlier today about your cousin, I mean, it was most alarming.
Well, poor old thing, she's so much alone. Perhaps she doesn't know what she's saying. And tonight it's so late for her to be up, and she has this passion for colours. The tree fascinated her. I often think she must come from gypsy ancestors, and, well, that would make her a little different.
Very likely. Very likely.
But it's no good your alarming yourself about her, is it?
All right, Mrs. Amherst. I'll try not to.
That's right.
I've been wondering now. May I ask your advice, Mrs. Amherst? I shouldn't think it would be very difficult in Polchester to find some sort of position.
Would you? What kind of a position?
Well, I wondered whether, later perhaps, I couldn't find a position as a companion, perhaps, or where I could arrange the flowers.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think such positions are easy to come by.
Oh, but Mrs. Amherst, well, you don't mind my telling you, do you? Only I'm sure you'll understand. You see, I must get a position soon, because at the end of 6 months, I won't have any money left.
They'll kill you if you touch it.
She's having a nightmare. Agatha! Agatha, wake up! You're dreaming.
What was that? Dreaming? Yes, that's right, Lucy. I was dreaming about that husband of mine. I dreamt I tried to kill him. Well, he's dead now and can't do me any harm. No more than I can do him any. But I could have killed him once. I could have killed him all right when he threw my hat on the fire. A fine hat it was, but too gay for him. Can you believe that, Lucy? I was a young girl then, and prettier than most of them. My gypsy queen, he called me when we were courting. My gypsy queen. But after that, when he got me, no life for guilty then, not even a gay hat. No, went to the fire and threw it. Well, I got my own back. Yes, I can't tell you how, because you and Miss Berry, what's her name? Miss Berenger, it's so ladylike. Yes, and he didn't know how to his dying day. I used to lie awake after he threw my hat in the fire, thinking what I could do to him. And I read a book about China once. Just certain parts of it, though, and I never could read a book right through. But he told you how they'd tie up the prisoners with wire, and then they'd get a rat.
Don't! I can't bear it. I really can't. Now I shall have to go.
Miss Beringer, you mustn't get in such a state. Agatha, don't go on. Let's talk of something nice.
I'm only telling you what I read in the book.
Please sit down again. It would be such a pity to end this Christmas party like this. And I believe it's nearly 12 o'clock, too. Christmas Day.
Oh, I can't help it. My heart's so bad and my nerves are quite on edge. But I will try. I'd do anything for you, Mrs. Amherst. I'd hate to spoil the party.
That's right. Now, Agatha, why don't you put a new little dress on the doll? I'm quite longing to see what she looks like in it.
I'm too tired, Lucy. If I go upstairs now to get Miranda, I shall stay there and go to bed.
It is late, of course.
Oh, let me get it for you. Do let me, please. I won't take a minute to run upstairs. May I?
Please yourself. I don't mind.
I shouldn't trouble, Miss Beringer.
Oh, but I'd love to. I so want to see Mrs. Penn's doll. Where will I find it, Mrs. Penn?
You can't miss her. She's a big doll. You'll see her all right.
Well, thank you. I'll get her then. Oh, and Mrs. Amherst.
Yes?
Would you like to see my piece of amber that Jane gave me?
Yes, very much.
Oh, well, I'll bring that down too then. Bye-bye then. Bye-bye for a second or two.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, idiot.
Why don't you like her, poor old thing?
I don't mind her. She irritates me, that's all. What she's so frightened of everything for?
You must admit, Agatha, you are a little alarming sometimes.
Me? Alarming? Nonsense. Bye-bye. I like people to have gumption. Wants to see the doll, does she? Wants any excuse to get away from me for a moment because I frighten her. Bye-bye.
I think you're very unkind, Agatha.
Nonsense. She's frightened of everything. You can see that. You and me, Lucy, we're not frightened. I like you for that, Lucy. I respect you. You've got independence. But her... Look at her. She's not worth talking about. You're quite right, poor old thing. She's never known what it is to live. Oh, it's cold. Fire's going out and I'm going to bed. Help me up, Lucy.
Must you go now?
Yes, I must. Bed's all I want. And you'll have to help me up the stairs. My legs are funny tonight.
Oh, dear. Are you going to bed now? Look, Mrs. Amherst, I've brought the amber. It's pretty with the light shining through it. Look.
Oh, what a lovely thing. It's like a piece of fire and all the colours in it.
That's a beautiful thing you have there.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it? It's my most precious possession. I'm so glad you like it.
Oh, I do like it.
I'm so glad. It's been much admired. Everybody likes it. It's worth a lot of money, I believe.
Do you think you'd sell it if you were offered a large sum?
Oh, dear, no. Nothing would induce me. The greatest friend of my life gave it to me.
May I look at it a little closer?
Oh, I certainly do.
May I have it in my hands for a moment?
No. Oh, dear, I'm just terribly ill. I'm very sorry. My head, oh, it's bursting.
Oh, Agatha, you frightened her again, poor old thing. You'd better go to bed.
Very well, Lucy. Good night.
Oh, Mrs. Amherst, I'm so sorry to have spoilt the party. I really am. She frightens me. She really does. The queer way she looked at the amber and the way she looks at me.
But Agatha always looks a little strange. She has those big black eyes.
It wasn't only those eyes. I'm sure she's going to do me a mischief. I'm sure she is.
I've known Mrs. Payne for a long time. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure I don't know. I've always been afraid of something all my life. It just seems to be my destiny. I'm sure I don't like being under the same roof with her. She'll do something to me in my sleep.
Now, don't you worry, dear. Have a good rest, and you'll find that you'll have forgotten all about it in the morning. Good night, my dear, and a happy Christmas.
The next evening, Agatha Payne asked Mrs. Amherst if she would again light the candles on the tree which had so fascinated her. But the candles were now very low, and one caught a branch and had to be extinguished. Agatha Payne sat without moving, her dark eyes fixed on the tree, watching its death. It was Christmas night, and all was silent. When the last candle had flickered out, Agatha Payne breathed a husky good night and slowly climbed the stairs to her room. A few days later, she was half asleep upstairs in her rocking chair, eating nougat, when May Bellinger knocked on Mrs. Amherst's half-open door.
May I come in, Mrs. Amherst?
Yes, do. Have you been out?
Did you see this letter?
Oh, thank you. Dear me, it's typewritten. Will you excuse me a moment? Sit down, dear, will you?
Yes, certainly. Thank you so much. Oh, dear. I've had that pain in my knee again today. Oh, I hope it's not bad news.
No. No, it isn't bad news. It's from the lawyer. He wants me to call on him.
Oh, Mrs. Amherst, I do hope it's something nice.
Yes. Oh, dear, it's made me feel quite flustered. I'd better go and see him this morning. Yes, I certainly had. I wonder what's the time? I really think I'll go almost at once.
Is it about your cousin?
Oh, yes, of course, it must be. I had such a curious sensation during Cousin Francis's funeral the other day. I knew, of course, that it wasn't poor Cousin Francis himself there. But I don't know. It somehow seemed that it was, and that he'd be feeling so cold and lonely. Oh, I must have been in a very morbid state. I don't generally feel things like that.
You must have been overwrought. When poor little Pip died, I felt like that. But then, of course, they say that animals don't go to heaven. And nevertheless, I feel certain I shall see him again. I can't help feeling it.
I'm sure you're right.
I never have been able to get really near people. Know them, if you know what I mean. Dogs, yes. I can feel I know them, but people... I remember once, when I was a girl, I found my mother crying in her bedroom. I wanted so much to put my arms round her and comfort her. But I couldn't think what to say. And even now, I don't know why she was crying.
Well, I think I'll be getting off now. Was that Agatha's door banging?
Oh, dear. I hope not.
Oh, I believe it was. That means she's coming down. She's always coming down lately. I wonder if I can get out before she arrives.
Oh, let me help you with your coat.
No, listen. She's on the stairs.
Oh, I shan't stay. I shan't stay.
Oh, now, you must, dear. You must get over this feeling about her. It's nearly all imagination.
It isn't. You know it isn't. Otherwise, why should you not want to talk to her?
Only because she annoys me by not knocking before she comes in. She's very, very friendly. She's been more friendly than ever since Christmas Eve. And you remember how you felt then.
She hasn't done you any harm since, has she? In spite of what you thought.
Oh, but she has, Mrs. Amherst. She has. I never told you before because you'd think it silly of me, but she has.
Why, what has she done?
She taps on my wall at night. She won't let me sleep. All night, she taps on my wall.
Agatha, would you mind knocking before you come in? It's pleasanter, don't you think, for both of us?
Why, it's Miss Beringer. How are you today, Miss Beringer? You're not looking so well. That's a pity.
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. But I was just going to my room, if you'll excuse me. Have you a book, Mrs. Amherst? I'd like a nice book to read this afternoon.
Why, certainly, dear. Which would you like?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Any one will do. I'll take this. Bye-bye. Bye-bye for the present.
Goodbye, dear. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, don't be so stupid, Agatha. I expect you say things just as annoying. Come and sit down for a moment. I'm going out almost at once.
Have you heard anything about the money yet?
No, not exactly. Well, no, I haven't.
Do you think he's left it to you?
Oh, dear, I wish I hadn't told you about it.
Well, you'll be in a fine old hole if he hasn't. What's he going to do if he hasn't?
I don't know, dear. But I'm sure our Lord will care for me in the same way that he has always done.
Cared for you? And he's left you all alone.
How can I be alone, dear, when he's with me?
Oh, sir. Do you really believe that?
Of course I do.
You're a fool, Lucy. Have you heard from your boy?
No.
Your cousin did promise you the money, didn't he?
Well, yes.
He said that when he died...
Agatha... Don't you think that there's something rather dreadful in our talking about money like this when we're both so old?
We can have 20 years yet. You're strong and I'm strong. I knew a little girl who died when she was 5. What's the good of thinking about it?
We ought to think about it. Not in an unwholesome way, of course, but as though we were going from one country into another. And we must give an account of ourselves. And why shouldn't we think about God's love? It's very nice to think about it.
That's a fine coloured piece of Miss Beringer's, isn't it?
Yes. I've told her how greatly I admire it.
I don't know what an old woman like her's doing with it. She can't appreciate it.
She likes it because her best friend gave it to her, and that's a very good reason. Well, dear, I'm going now, or I shall be late. You will excuse me, won't you?
Where are you going to?
Oh, nowhere much.
Nowhere much? What do you mean?
If you must know, Agatha, I'm going to the lawyer's. I heard from him.
A solicitor? Why didn't you tell me? Why did you keep it a secret?
Because you will talk about it so much, Agatha, and I don't like it.
What does he say in the letter about the money?
He simply says that I'm to go and see him. It may not be about the money at all.
Whatever will you do with it all?
Oh, don't, Agatha.
Goodbye, dear, and take care of yourself.
Goodbye. I shan't be long.
Lucy?
Yes?
I should like to know what he says to you.
And then Agatha slowly climbed the stairs, passing Miss Beringer's door on her way to her own room.
Come in and have a little talk with me, will you, Miss Beringer? Why don't you come in? You'll be warmer in here.
I'm having a cup of tea.
Well, have it in here. So, Miss Beringer, you're not frightened of me, are you?
No, I'm not.
Do sit down, Miss Beringer. Make yourself comfortable. That's right. Are you enjoying your tea?
Thank you. Yes, very much. Very much indeed, thank you.
Now, tell me. I don't want to be impertinent, but what are your plans?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
It's so difficult to say, isn't it? I hope to find some work very shortly.
What kind of work?
Companion to some lady, perhaps. Some old lady, you know, who can't look after herself. Someone too old to really care for herself.
Such jobs are rather hard to find, you know, and you're not as strong as you were.
No, that's quite true, but I'm very hale and hearty still. Still quite strong. If the work were not too arduous.
Would you sell your piece of red amber if things went badly? I'm expecting to get a bit of money soon.
Oh, no. No, I shouldn't like to sell that. It was given to me by my best friend.
But if you had to sell it...
I would rather starve. I would indeed. I'd rather die of hunger.
It's a beautiful piece.
Yes, isn't it? But it's because my great friend gave it to me that I value it. If she hadn't given it to me, I wouldn't value it so much.
No, I dare say not. You lived in Exeter, didn't you, in your youth?
Yes. Yes, I was very fond of Exeter.
I wouldn't like to live in Exeter. Too sleepy.
Oh, it wasn't sleepy all the time. Not sleepy at all, no, indeed. There was so much going on. All sorts of things were always happening.
Really? I wouldn't have thought it. What sorts of things?
Oh, I don't know. Meeting one's friends and concerts. And in the summer we had picnics.
Picnics?
Yes, beautiful picnics they were too. We used to have the moors so close to us, and you could see for miles on a fine day.
Do you know when you're going to die?
To die? Oh, no.
Do you want to know?
No, I don't. I don't want to think about it.
Ah, you're a coward.
No, I'm not. I don't want to think of it. It's not a thing you want to think of.
Why not? It's coming sometime. That's certain. It's preserved for many. Take yourself now. When your money gives out and you don't get a job, what are you going to do?
I don't want to think of it. Indeed, I don't.
But you ought to think of it. You ought to make provision. Who will you leave your things to?
My things?
Yes, your odds and ends. That piece of amber, for instance. If you sold it beforehand, you wouldn't have to bother who to leave it to.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
Haven't you made a will?
No. It didn't seem worthwhile.
Well, I should make a will at once. You never know what will happen. You better know when you're going to die. Try the cards. They'll tell you.
Oh, no. I shouldn't like that at all. I shouldn't approve of it. I don't think we're meant to know.
Oh, yes, we are. Here, draw up a chair. I'll show you.
I'd really rather not, thank you. I've got rather a headache. If you'll excuse me.
Nonsense, it'll interest you. Come and have a look. You've never seen the cards done the way I do them.
I'd really rather not.
There's nothing to be frightened about. What are you looking so frightened for? Miranda can see you. Miranda's never looked so frightened as you do, and she's seen lots in her time. There they are. Six of clubs. Queen of spades. Four of diamonds. Shh. This is you. Just as I thought. The eight of spades.
Why am I the eight of spades?
It isn't you who are the eight of spades. It's the combination with the other cards. You're in danger.
Danger?
Yes, they show it quite distinctly. I'll deal some more. Four of hearts, five of diamonds, knave of clubs, yes, there you are, don't you see? Ten of spades, the ten with the knave of clubs and the five of diamonds. You're threatened with something very serious indeed.
Oh, dear. This isn't right. Really, it isn't.
I think I'll go to bed, if you don't mind.
Oh, wait a minute. We're just coming to the exciting part. There you are. Isn't it extraordinary? You're in luck tonight. They're coming as well. Now, let's see. Yes, all black. That settles it.
Settles what?
Of course, there may be nothing in it. Still, it's an odd thing, you know. You're very foolish not to sell the amber. You should certainly make your will. You should indeed. All black.
It's wicked. You shouldn't do such things, Mrs. Payne. They're against religion.
Yes, all black. You'll come to tea another time, Miss Billinger, and we'll do the cards again. Makes a nice change for you.
Yes, thank you. I'm afraid, though, I'm not used to these sort of things. Well, I forget it's only fun.
Well, have a piece of nougat.
Oh, no, thank you, no.
Don't you like nougat?
I just don't fancy it.
Well, there's none here, anyway. Now, that's a pity, no nougat. Perhaps I'll go out and get some. Yes, I will. It's a long time since I've been out, and I'm wonderfully light on my feet today. Wonderfully light. Don't know why it is, like a young girl. Yes. Yeah. Shop's nearly next door. Shan't wear me best hat.
Well, I hope you enjoy your little outing, Mrs. Payne. And thank you very much for a pleasant afternoon.
Of course, I don't get out much, but there's nothing that does you more good than a minute's walk when you're feeling light on your feet. Now, tell me, Miss Beringer, which hat you like me in? They don't make hats like this nowadays.
Yes, the modern style is not at all becoming. These girls one sees so severe.
They won't get the fellas after them like this. A man who's worth your while, likes a bit of beauty, a bit of colour. You can't beat fruit on a hat.
Yes, the old ideas are always right.
Nonsense, of course they're not right. What's the matter with some people is that they've never been young. I get on well enough with the young folk nowadays, given half the chance. At a rare old time. What's a cold, Miss Beringer?
A cold? Oh, why?
You look as if you got a cold.
Well, I'm not well, of course. My knee.
Well, your knee? Was your head just now? You got a headache in your knee? Wouldn't suit you, would it, this hat?
No, it's rather... Well, I wear a different style. Certainly, I would never choose a hat like that.
Oh, grey you'd wear, wouldn't you, grey? Hurry up, Miss Beringer, you haven't got your coat on yet. I don't like to keep waiting, you know.
Oh, dear, I didn't say I was coming with you. I couldn't really.
Get some barley sugar and a new pot of raspberry. She hasn't brought me my raspberry lately, that charwoman. It'll give her a surprise in the morning when she finds I've been out and got it myself. What's the matter, Miss Beringer? Why don't you get your coat? Coming without it, I shouldn't. You shiver enough in any case.
I'm sure I don't shiver. Well, it's nerves. I feel a bit nervy sometimes.
Perhaps the cards meant that. Perhaps you'll go out without a coat and catch it. Yes. Here's a piece of nougat on the way back. Now, hurry up, dear.
I really don't...
Now, go along now. That's right. Ready? I'm waiting for you, Miss Beringer. I can't wait much longer. I just have to come in and see how you're getting on. It's a long time you've been. I believe you've just sat on the bed without moving.
No, I couldn't think where I'd put my things for the moment.
That's a thin coat for the winter. Well, no one could say we don't dress in different styles. Come along, down the stairs.
Oh, I wonder what it is with my knee.
Best thing in the world for bad knees, a walk.
Is it far to the confectioner's?
About 3 houses. Only a minute when you're in good health and the wind's behind you.
Oh, Mrs. Payne, do you mind? You're leaning so heavily on my shoulder. I can't go another step like it.
Very well. You needn't think I can't move without your help. Not at all. I didn't ask you to come.
I can't stand it. I can't stand this.
Miss Beringer dragged herself into Mrs. Amherst's room and fell sobbing onto the bed. Before long, Mrs. Amherst returned, and Miss Beringer rose quickly.
Mrs. Amherst, I must apologize. A most unpardonable thing. I was lying on your bed.
That's quite all right, dear. You know I don't mind. Do use my room when you like.
I felt so unwell. Stairs.
Yes, of course. Have you been out?
No. No, I was going with Mrs. Payne. But I didn't.
Has she gone out?
Yes, to buy some sweets or something.
Oh, she's not been out for a long time.
No. Did you see the lawyer?
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you.
One gets very tired walking, doesn't one?
Lucy? Hello, Lucy. Haven't you been? What's happened? Aren't you well?
Well, yes, I'm all right, thank you. I just felt a little tired.
Didn't you see him?
Who?
Well, the lawyer, of course. The lawyer you were going to see.
Oh, yes, I saw him.
Is it all right? The money your cousin left you.
I'm afraid I was wrong about that, Agatha.
He hasn't left you any?
He didn't do what he said he would, that's all. I was silly to believe in it.
He's left you nothing?
Something of his to remember him by. Mr. Agnew, the lawyer, wanted me to go and choose something, but I didn't feel well enough. Tomorrow, perhaps. He says there's a very nice little writing desk I could have.
And that's all?
Yes. Why should he have left me anything else? I was only his cousin. It was very nice of him to think of me.
Then he cheated you.
Oh, no. I cheated myself. It was only one day he was feeling kindly. I happened to be there. He would have said it to anyone else who was kind to him.
I say cheated you. He said he'd give it to you. You made a solemn promise. May you rot in hell, I say.
It's kind of you to be interested, Agatha, but there's nothing more to be said. It was only an idea that I had that he might leave me something. I shouldn't have spoken to you about it.
No, you should not. Making me believe things that aren't true. It's wicked. A wicked shame. And you'll pay for it. No one's deceived me and not paid for it. You just wait.
And Mrs. Agatha Payne half lurches, half stumbles up the stairs to her own room, where she throws Miranda, the doll, onto the floor and mutters to herself.
Oh, teacher, to take me in like that. Blasted, milk-faced old fool. Oh, teacher, pretending this and pretending that just to make herself more important. I knew there was no money coming to her. Talk like that to amuse herself, I suppose. Amuse herself. I'll amuse her before I've finished with her. Well, if there's to be no money, I'll get it the other way. The amber. Why did I ever think of buying it? She stole it from me, the Beringer woman. It's always been mine, before she was born or thought of, it was mine. Long, thin fool. Old maid, stealing it from me. You've only got to speak and she's frightened. She'll give it back all right. I'll go and see her. She'll give it back to me whether she wants to or no, if I have to wring her neck to get it.
Karen?
Well, Miss Berenger, it's very disappointing for poor Lucy about the money, isn't it? And how do you find yourself now?
Mrs. Payne, why are you persecuting me like this? Why do you come to my room? Why do you knock on my wall? I haven't done anything to harm you. I haven't hurt you in any way. I never saw you before I came here. I never interfered with you. I know it's silly of me to go on like this, but I haven't been sleeping. Won't you leave me alone? I've done you no harm.
Perhaps I thought you were lonely.
Not lonely. Not at all. I don't want anybody. I want to be alone. But you want to frighten me. And you want something else. You want my piece of amber.
Who says that I want it? You've strange ideas in your head. You should see a doctor. You're ill. The card said you would be.
That's it. Of course, I'm ill. I know I'm silly if you put ideas into my head. I always was as a child. I've been like that ever since I was a child. But I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I ask you not to come here. It is my room. I forbid you to come any more.
Well, if you'll give me that piece of amber, I won't come any more.
Nobody shall have it. It's the only thing I've got.
We'll see. We'll see.
Mrs. Agatha Payne returns to her own room, while Miss Berenger, in great agitation, pulls an old Gladstone bag from under her bed and hastily fills it. She steals downstairs and taps quietly on Mrs. Amherst's door.
Yes, come in.
Please, Mrs. Amherst.
Why, whatever is it?
Shut the door quickly, please, please.
What are you doing with your bag?
I can't stand it any longer. I really can't. I'm going. But I don't know about the train.
But what's happened? Is it Agatha? What's she been doing? Tell me what's happened.
No, I can't. I couldn't go over it. I'm going to St. Lennon's. I'm going to friends. But please, please, couldn't you get me a time table? Oh, you must please get me one.
Well, I know about the trains, dear. There's always one at 4:30. And it's 3:15 now.
Oh, I mustn't miss it. I don't know what I should do if I miss it.
Oh, why don't you wait a little, dear, and get the next one? You mustn't go out when you're like this.
I'll be all right when I'm outside. When I'm at St. Lennon's, I shall get better. The pain in my back will get better. I shall buy another little dog, like Pip, and everything will be all right again. Oh, here's some money for the child lady. Please give it to her. And thank you for being so good to me.
What is it? Oh, you must take things more quietly. You mustn't excite yourself so much. Is it your heart?
Yes. Yes, it's my heart. It stopped then. Now it's going so fast. I'm ill.
Oh,
You're too ill to go out anyway. Certainly too ill to go to St. Lennon's.
Oh, no. No, I must go. I can't stay here. It's only my heart. It's been like this before. I must go. I hate this house. I hate this town. What was that? She's outside the door. She is. She's listening.
Who, Agatha? Nonsense. Of course she's not. Well, we'll see if you like.
Hello, Lucy. Well, what's the matter? Aren't you well, Miss Beringer? You'll have to stay in bed then, won't you? Well, never mind. I'll be with you. I'll see that you're all right. You won't be lonely.
A few hours later, dusk has fallen and the lamps are lit. Upstairs in her room, Agatha Payne is playing cards, while downstairs, Miss Beringer is propped up in Mrs. Amherst's bed, asleep. She stirs.
Are you awake, dear?
Yes.
Lie still, then. I'll give you some nice beef tea in a minute.
Have I been asleep long?
Quite a long time, dear, yes.
Is it nearly night, then?
Oh, no, no. The last post hasn't been yet. I always count the beginning of the night from when I hear the postman go by.
You're not going?
No, dear. Don't you worry. I'll get the beef tea.
In the morning, I'll be able to go to St. Helen's, won't I?
Yes, dear.
Will you come and visit me at St. Helen's? I'll show you the places Jane and I used to go to, and where I used to take Pip for walks.
Oh, yes, I certainly will. Here you are now. Drink it up, and it'll do you a world of good.
Thank you. Sit closer, will you, Mrs. Amherst? Next to the bed. Do you mind?
Certainly. Is the bed fairly comfortable? I always find it so. It makes a great difference, I think, if the mattress is turned every morning. Now, would you like a little bread with the beef tea?
Is that my bag over there?
Yes. Do you want something from it?
My amber. My amber's in it. Will you give me my amber?
Now, dear. Do you want it now?
Yes, please.
But...
Please, give me my amber.
Very well. As long as you don't get excited. Now, where would it be? Underneath the other things?
Yes. It's at the bottom, because I put it in first. Can you feel it?
Ah, yes, yes, here it is.
Oh.
What a beautiful thing. There. Now, don't drop it in the bed and fall asleep, or you'll be like the princess and the pea, most uncomfortable.
Thank you.
You're not finished already, have you?
I couldn't drink any more.
Oh, do try. Just a last little drain. There's all the goodness at the bottom.
I don't think I can.
Oh, then you won't be able to go to St. Lennon's tomorrow. Drink it up. That's right. You'll feel a different woman in no time.
Hold my hand, will you? Do you mind holding my hand? Do tell me if you mind.
But of course not. There.
I'll tell you why I decided to go away. May I?
I can guess what happened. Agatha frightened you again, I suppose.
Oh, speak softly. She can hear what we say.
But of course she can't. She's in her room.
But she can.
Now, that's really nonsense. You've had ideas about Mrs. Payne since you first saw her. Of course, she's very odd and alarming, but I'm certain she doesn't really mean any harm. After all, I've lived in this house for months and months with her, and she's never done me any harm.
That's because you haven't got anything she wants.
What do you mean?
It's my piece of amber she wants. And she's not going to have it.
Now, dear, you mustn't imagine things. It's only because you're not well.
She came into my room after you'd come back from the lawyer's and said she wouldn't leave me alone unless I gave it to her.
She must be mad.
mad and wicked. That's as bad as being a thief.
She is a thief. She'd take it at once if I were alone in the house.
Oh, I can't understand anybody wanting anything like that. Of course, I like to have nice things, but it's wicked. And that's only a bit of stone or something. It isn't as though it were alive. What's it made of?
Well, I think the Chinese find it on the seashore or something. But I'm not certain about its not being alive. When you put a lot of feeling into something, don't you give it a sort of life? It may be grateful, you know, for your being so fond of it. Of course, it's very fanciful. Perhaps it isn't very religious. Jane said, when she gave it to me, that it had some of her heart in it. And I think perhaps it has.
Listen. There is the post coming down the street. Can you hear him?
It's the night, then.
Yes.
You're not going, are you?
No, dear, of course not. What would you like? Would you like me to read you something?
Oh, yes, please.
Let's see what there is. Oh, I wonder what that is. We seldom get anything by the last post. A circular, probably.
You're coming back. You're not going, are you?
Of course not, dear. I can't make it out in this light. Seems to be covered in stamps and addresses. What's it say here? Not known, is it? It's from my son, Miss Beringer. At last. After all these months.
Your son. Oh. Mrs. Amherst.
A whole year. Where can it have been? And he sent a photograph. Dear old lady, I can't pretend to have been much of a letter writer during the last year, and I'm ashamed of myself. What I wanted to do was to make my pile turn up unexpectedly in Cheltenham, give you the fright of your young life, and then make you a duchess as you ought to be. Oh, dear. But then I've had bad luck over and over again. I was on to a wonderful thing 3 months ago, but then what did I do but go down with diphtheria? Oh, what a terrible thing.
He must be better, or he wouldn't be writing.
But I'm all right now. Yes, yes, you see. And there's some land prospecting down south that promises fine. I'm enclosing a photograph I've had taken here. There he is, Miss Beringer.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear, yes. He's very handsome. Such a nice expression. It's a splendid photograph.
Glad you're stopping at Cheltenham, where you've plenty of company. Don't be lonely, old lady. Your loving son, Bran.
How happy you must feel to get a letter like that.
I didn't want him to think I'd left Cheltenham. It might have fussed him. But I left this address in the post office there. I don't know wherever this letter can have been.
Will you let me meet him when he comes back, Mrs. Amherst? I would love to meet him.
You mustn't get excited. It's nearly time to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep upstairs tonight.
Oh, Mrs. Amherst.
I'll just take my things up, and when I come down, I'll read you something till you go to sleep.
Promise not to be long.
You're not feeling worse, are you? Is your heart bad still?
Oh, yes. My heart. Put your hand here and see how it jumps.
Well, you must let me get a doctor in the morning. I insist on a doctor. Excuse me, Agatha. I want to speak to you a moment. Excuse me, but I must speak to you. It's important.
What is it?
I've been seeing Miss Beringer. You know, of course, that she's ill.
but I don't think you realize that she's very seriously ill.
Well, I had to take her into the room, didn't I? I can't help her illness. What have I to do with her?
You've been in there and said something that frightened her. She's easily frightened and her heart's very bad. She has an idea that you want to steal something of hers. I can't believe that of you, but sick women have strange fancies. She's done you no harm. Why won't you leave her alone?
Leave her alone? Silly old fool. Silly old fools, both of you. A pair of sentimental old women. You with your precious boy. Her with her Jane and her dog.
You leave my son alone. And you leave Miss Beringer alone, too. From what she tells me, you're no better than a thief.
Thief, is it? Now, you leave me alone, Lucy Amorous, and mind your own business, or it'll be the worse for you.
It is my own business. The poor woman's sick and has no one to care for her. If you go and frighten her again, or, in fact, go near her at all, I'll call for the police.
You will you? What are the police to do with it? You'd look fine and silly with the police coming in. You'd have them arrest me, I suppose. And what for? Now, look here, Lucy Amherst, you mind your own business. I've stood you long enough poking your nose in where you're not wanted. I've not interfered with you. If I, then leave me to myself.
You may say what you like to me. I'm not afraid of you, but that poor woman's old and ill and penniless. Give her another fright, and with her heart as it is, anything can happen. And then you'll be a murderess as well as a thief.
She's so bad as that, is she? Well, what does it matter? We are old and penniless, too. Three penniless old women. The Beringer woman's always complaining and crying. It'd be a kindness if I were to go and put my hand round her neck and choke her.
How can you talk like that? It's only because she's got something you want. A piece of coloured stone that is nothing. Nothing at all.
Speak of what you understand. What do you know of lust or desire for anything? You've never felt passion with your milk and water religion and sentimentality. If I were to know that I'd only half an hour more to live, I would want the sensation of owning that beautiful thing. Beauty. You don't know the meaning of the word.
Mrs. Amherst!
There, she's calling. Just you leave her alone.
Mrs. Amherst! Oh, please come. I'm so frightened.
Why, whatever is it? You'll catch your death of cold getting out of bed like that. So get back at once, Miss Beringer. You mustn't be so silly. I'll stay with you.
I couldn't help it. I had such an upsetting dream. I really can't tell you how upsetting it was.
Oh, my dear, you mustn't get so distressed just because you've had a silly dream.
But I couldn't help it. It was a real nightmare, worse than anything I've had for years. My nerves are in such a state I don't know what I'm doing.
Now get back into bed. It won't do any good sitting shivering on the edge like that.
I know how stupid you must think I am. But do you think dreams mean anything?
Just get into bed, dear, and then you can tell me all about it.
It was so vivid, as if it really happened. There was this road stretching a long, long way ahead in the wood to one side. Oh, yes. And there was a wind, a bitter, biting wind blowing. And I had to go on to meet this terrible something. I didn't want to, but I couldn't stop myself. And I thought, if I can get into the wood, it'll be all right. But I couldn't stop or run away. I just went on faster and faster. As I got nearer, I could see the crossroads in the moonlight. And there was this someone waiting for me. It was so terrible, Mrs. Amherst. And
coming out to take me by the throat. I have to call him. Oh, do forgive me. Please.
There's nothing to forgive. Now, pull the clothes up. There, that's right. Now you're nice and comfortable. I gave Agatha a proper talking to. She won't annoy you any more, I'm sure.
You spoke to her. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, dear, what did she say? Whatever did she do?
I told her that if she went near you again, I should call the police, so you're not to worry about her. And I'll leave the door open upstairs, and then I can hear if anybody moves about. Now, you're sure you're comfortable? Your heart isn't troubling you so much, is it?
No. Oh, but do stay with me a moment longer. I don't want you to go.
Why, of course I will, dear.
You don't think me foolish, do you?
Of course not.
I am foolish and frightened. A silly old woman. But you've been so kind to me. There is one thing I'd like you to do.
What is it, dear?
Would you mind, before you go, saying a prayer? A prayer about the dangers of the night. Being kept safe.
I know. Dear Lord, we pray thee now, when the night comes down over our heads and there is darkness everywhere, that thy might may be before our eyes, and that whether we are sleeping or waking, we may know no fear. So trusting, we fall asleep in thy arms, dear Lord. Amen.
What a nice prayer. I've never heard it before.
Yes, it is nice. Our nurse used to say it to us when we were children. Now you must have a long sleep, and then you'll feel much better in the morning. And no more nightmares. Good night, dear.
Time passes, and Agatha Payne's door opens quietly, and she creeps across the landing and downstairs. She has changed into an old, dirty yellow wrapper and taken the combs from her hair.
I came to see if you wanted anything.
No, I...
Well, I want us to have a little talk. If you're sleepy, I can wait. I'm not at all sleepy myself. Why do you complain about me?
I haven't complained.
Yes, to Mrs. Amherst. She came into my room. It was very insulting. I'm sure I've been very kind to you. There are not many who would bother to be so kind.
Oh, go away. Please go away.
Go away? Oh, no. I'm very comfortable here.
I know why you've come.
I came to make you more comfortable, that's why. To smooth your pillow.
Don't touch me. I'll scream. I'll rouse everybody. Don't
be so frightened. You're all frightened, aren't you?
Leave me alone. I want to sleep. I can't stand it.
Why don't you take things more quietly? I'm kind enough, really, but when you tremble like that, it gives me pleasure. And the more you tremble, the more I like to make you. I lift my hand and see you shake all over.
Can't you see that I'm ill? My heart is bad. It's true what you say. I am frightened of you. I can't help it. I always have been.
Oh, well, fancy that. I wonder why. course, I'm not very handsome. Sometimes I think I'm not quite right in the head. But you've no spirit. Why, if I were to drag you out of your bed and beat you around the room, you wouldn't object.
What do you want?
Why don't you give it me without all this fuss? Let's look at it. You got it here somewhere?
No.
All right, then. I can wait. Crying? What should you death for? I've never cried in my life. Not even when my lover left me because he was tired of me. You've never had a lover not with that face of yours. But I had plenty once. I was handsome and didn't care what I did. You sniveling old scarecrow. It'd be a fine sort of man that would make love to you.
I beg you to leave me just for tonight. You can do what you like in the morning. I won't tell anyone. But for tonight...
Give me that piece of amber and I'll go.
No, never. Jane gave it to me.
Very well, then. I'll wait. I don't care. I can sit up all night if need be. Ah! There you have it in your hand. I wondered where it was.
Let me go. Please let me go to Mrs. Ashurst.
Think not. You'll catch the death. You can get to bed. I'm mistress here now. You want looking after, I can see. You're not safe to be left. So you're holding it under the bedclothes, are you, like a schoolgirl? Give it me for a moment. I'll give it back to you.
No.
I won't. Well, you won't you? And perhaps I shall have to make you. In spite of my affection for you, I don't think I can sit here all night. Now, come on. Give it up. I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to have that piece of amber because I said I would. Come now, give it to me. You silly fool, don't aggravate me. I shall hurt you if you don't take care. Now give it up now. Are you going to let me have it? I shan't ask again. I mean what I say.
Jesus.
Agatha pulls at the clenched hand holding the amber. May Beringer falls back against the iron bars of the bed. Her body shakes. Her lips are drawn back. Their faces are almost touching. Then a sudden shock galvanizes May's body. She rises straight up against the wall, stiffly like a rod, her eyes staring. A convulsive movement shudders through her. And with a sigh, she collapses against Agatha Payne's bare breast, then slides down, huddled in a heap, as Agatha takes the amber from her still tightly clenched hand.
Agatha!
She's dead, isn't she?
Oh, poor May. Why didn't you call me? I could have fetched a doctor.
So she's dead, Miss Beringer.
Agatha, what's that in your hand?
They say if you killed someone, they stay with you forever.
Agatha. Oh, it isn't true. What have you done?
You follow me now. I know it. If I go away, she'll follow me. If I die, she'll be with me just the same.
Oh, why did I leave her? It was my fault. I shouldn't have left her like that.
It's all right, Lucy. You stay with me. She can't come while you're here. As long as you're here, that will keep her away.
You're mad. You don't know what you're saying.
Well, don't leave me. I'll be all right if you're here. There's two of us against them.
Stop it! Poor May's dead. You've killed her. Let me go.
Listen. What's that?
Nothing. There isn't anything.
Yes, there is. I heard it. She's knocking on the wall. Listen. Can't you hear it?
Oh, no. You're mad. Dear God. What is this?
Anyone at home?
Agatha! It's my boy out there.
What's that?
His breath.
Don't tell those lies to me. You can't get out like that.
Let me go, Agatha. It's Brand. My boy's outside. Will you please let me go? I'm going away.
Going away? Oh, no, you're not. But leave me all alone with the Beringer woman. You try it, that's all.
But I am. My boy is there. Brand! Brand!
No good calling. He can't hear. He'll knock a few more times and then he'll go.
Let me go, Agatha. I must go. Please, Agatha. Please.
You stay here.
Let me go. Brand! Brand!
Just wait a little while and he won't knock anymore. He won't go on knocking much longer now. Listen, and we'll hear him go away.
If he does go away, Agatha, he'll find me again. But I want to go now because it's such a long time since I've seen him. Now, don't stand there any more, dear, because he's waiting for me. Poor Agatha. If only I could help you. Brand! Don't go! I'm coming! Don't go!
Hello, old lady!
Brand! Oh, Brand!
So it's between you and me, Miss Beringer. And I'll beat you yet.
Edith Evans played Agatha Payne, Gwen Franken-Davis, Lucy Amherst, and Sylvia Coleridge, May Beringer, in that broadcast of The Old Ladies, a play by Rodney Ackland, adapted from the novel by Hugh Walpole. Peter Williams was the narrator, and the play was produced by Charles Lefoe.